God bless you for being here this evening. On Wednesday night, we didn't get very far in our study of the book of Job, but tonight we're looking at chapters 29 to 31, and we will not finish this tonight either, but what we see in tonight's lesson is the passionate testimony of an innocent man. Job was certainly innocent in all that was taking place in his life. Today is becoming more and more a suspicious or a jaded generation. It doesn't take you very long to read a lot, to look at, to examine present generations and in times gone by. There were people that we looked up to. There were heroes. In fact, you might think right now, just in your mind, somebody that was your hero, somebody that had great character, someone who had great integrity. And there were periods and times in life when all of us looked up to people, when somebody was running for a political office and in all of those areas of leadership and service duties, we looked to people that had leadership ability. We looked to people that had great character and great integrity. But unfortunately, in the 21st century that you and I live in today, a man's word is not often his bond. How many of you remember the days or heard about the days or your ancestors told you about the days when a man's word was his bond? Contracts were not even signed between people because of the trust. If someone said they would do such and such, then you could take it to the bank and depend on them that their character and their integrity was certainly above reproach and that they would do what they said they would do. You and I certainly don't see a lot of that in today's society, and I believe that much of the erosion of the public's trust today can be traced back to three houses: the courthouse, the White House, and God's house. I want you to think about that for a few moments. The erosion of the public's trust can be traced back to three houses. The courthouse, oftentimes, you and I realize in our world today, oftentimes justice is not served. Justice is not rendered sometimes. The White House, presidents were once revered, depending on who you thought was your president. The office was revered because it was something that people looked up to. God's house, through the years, the scandals that have taken place among ministers, unfortunately staff members, have smeared their way across the work of God. We've seen that on many times with television evangelists, televangelists, and all of those kinds of things. Leadership begins from within. Former Senator Alan Simpson said this: if you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. How true that is. I believe that explains why all of us would have such high regard for a man by the name of Job who lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And yet his life today is still being preached on and taught on throughout millennia. He was a man of integrity. Before the bottom seemed to fall out of life for him, he remained intact with his character. He remained intact with his integrity, even though life fell apart. In spite of the hardships and the losses of 10 children in a day's time, the losses of servants, the losses of his animals, his stock, regardless of the loss of his financial portfolio, regardless of his station and standing as one of the most revered of men of the East in that day, regardless of the insults that were hurled against him by his so-called friends as they came and began to hurl one insult after another against him. The false accusations that they made and the condemning put-downs in all of those situations, Job never compromised his character. He never compromised his integrity. He suffered, Job endured, but the modeling of integrity through it all, we stand in admiration of that. Nothing about Job is more impressive. Job firmly states in Job chapter 27 and verse 5 and 6, he said, "Far be it from me that I should declare you right." He's speaking about these friends and their accusations. "Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me." Verse 6, "I hold fast my righteousness and will not let it go. My heart does not reproach any of my days." And so Job's problem back then is just as true today of leaders. Job had a jaded, suspicious audience out there. Each looked upon him with very suspicious eyes as they began to confront him, as they began to challenge him, as they began to let him know that they thought beyond any reasonable shadow of doubt that there was some secret sin hidden in Job's life which had created all the calamity and all of the tragedy that had been wreaked upon his life. To them, Job's words were just nothing more. His words were just like a gong to them. Job was going through the physical, the emotional, and the domestic abuses of people that should have been his friends. Nobody would lose business, home, family, and health, they thought, without being guilty of something really suspect, something really bad must be happening in Job's life. His friends never believed otherwise. Through all of the chapters that we've looked at, through the ramblings and the wranglings of these friends, as they began to throw one assault right after another at Job, they never changed their belief system. They believed to the bitter end that Job was a sinful man, and because of his hidden sins, he was experiencing all that he was experiencing in his life. Finally, they decided to stop talking. That was the best thing they could have done. And Job sits quietly. He reminisces through his mind their words that ring out through his ears. Job had no defense attorney. He is left to represent his own situation. For a brief interlude, chapters 27 all the way through chapters 32 of the book of Job has come to consider what they've said. He begins to reflect. He begins to think. He begins to think about all the things through his life. When you get to chapter 29 of the book of Job, we find Job looking back with some pleasant nostalgia as he remembers, and he begins to recount the blessings of God upon his life. Tonight, what incredible days those were as Job began to reflect. There he is sitting in an ash heap, boils that have erupted all over his body, the pain, the suffering that was there. In chapter 29, Job will reflect upon past glory. In chapter 30, he will rehearse the present misery that he's going through in his life. And then when we come to chapter 31, he will reaffirm his personal integrity. Tonight, I want us, first of all, to look at reflecting on his past glory. In Job chapter 29, verses 1 and 2, "And Job again took up his discourse and said, 'Oh, that I were as in months gone by.'" Wow. "Oh, that I were as in months gone by." I was driving to the church this evening, and I was reflecting as I was driving down the road, and I thought, "Oh, my soul, to be young again what I would give. I saw somebody sprinting down the road, and I was almost angry. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, to be able to be that age again. What somebody said, would you really? Absolutely, give me a chance. I'd do it in one heartbeat. I'd go back in a New York minute. I want you to know, Job began to reflect on his past glory. It's like Job says with a deep sigh on the inside, oh, I would love to know days like that again when God and I walked and we talked together. I've asked Ken and Barb to sing that song tonight. It's a song that I've sung many times down through the years, and I've asked them to sing this song. I hope you will look at the words up on the screen, and then I'll pick up from this song.
My God and I go in the fields together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows you. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows you. My God and I, of years that went before me, when heavenly plans were made for me to be, when all was but a dream of dim conception, to come to life, earth's verdant glory see. When all was but a dream of dim conception, to come to life, earth's verdant glory see. My God and I will go for a together. We'll walk and talk and jest as good friends do. This earth will pass and with it common trifles, but God and I will go unendingly. This earth will pass and with it common trifles, but God and I will go.
Thank you guys for doing that. As Ken and Barb were singing that song, and we're reflecting here as Job reflects on his past glory. I don't know about you, but have there been moments and times in your life that in the stillness and in the quietness of the hour that there's just the presence of the Lord with you? Always love getting to the church early of a morning, long before anybody gets here. I can get so much more accomplished when the phone's not ringing and the hustle and bustle of the doors and the UPS drivers coming and all of those things that happen. There's something about the quietness of the morning that rings out in the stillness that Jesus and you are walking hand in hand. Job, no doubt. I've often quoted the words to that song that Ken and Barb just sang, My God and I. And as they sang that song, I could not help but think about the wonderful times that you spent in life in a particular situation. No doubt as Job is reflecting on past glory, I have no doubt that Job is thinking about the good days. On a beautiful spring day or a beautiful autumn day, whenever this event took place, it must have been somewhere in the spring of the year because a tornado came and swept away his children, but on a beautiful day when life seemed filled with all of the blessings you could ever want, that you could ever hope for. No wonder Solomon would pen the words in the 27th Proverbs, verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day will bring forth." Little did Job and Mrs. Job, I'm going to call her Harriet, I don't know what her name was, but on a day when Job and Harriet got up, little did they know that their life would be changed forever on that particular day, that all of these cataclysmic events would come into their heart and life. And after all of those things had happened, now Job in chapter 29, verse 1 and 2, Job said, "Oh, that I were as in months gone by, as in the days when God watched over me." You know, there's a song that says there's an all-seeing eye watching me. And whenever you think about those days, the good old days, last night I had the television on, I was in the other room, and all of a sudden, I guess it was Hee Haw came on, because Minnie Pearl was a-dancing and singing. And I thought, oh, Minnie, those were the days. I can only imagine as Job and Mrs. Harriet, as they were reminiscing, reflecting on when the days were good, life was good, and they had such great respect of the community and their integrity and their character and their children and all of those things. And Job would pray for his family every day. Job would pray that God would be with them, that God would watch over them, that God would forgive his children if they had done something throughout the day. You know, I think there's a life application when Job was looking back upon those days. I think one of the life applications for you and me tonight is to pray for your kids every day. Pray for your grandchildren every day. Pray for your great-grandchildren every day, because they live in a very jaded generation filled with suspicion and all kinds of distrust that's going on in the world today. If there's anything in all the world parents and grandparents and great-grandparents ought to be doing, it's being the greatest of intercessors that they can be for their families. Job pauses, "Oh, that I were as in months gone by, as in the days when God watched over me." Job was not privy to have the information that you and I have tonight. Job didn't know about chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Job, when God and Satan met on a particular day and the challenge was given and the permissive will of God allowed the things that were come against Job. This morning when I preached on that you and I have an enemy, and one of the main things to know when you're in a spiritual warfare, or if you're out there in physical war, number one, you better know who your enemy is. Amen. I know last Sunday morning when I awakened, went out to get in my car, and my car wouldn't start. And of course, when you pull it all the way up into the garage and then you want to put it down in neutral and back it out, you can't do it. I couldn't even move the column to get it down in neutral. And so when I went to pick up the battery that afternoon, and they told me at AutoZone, "Well, which car do you have?" Well, I gave them the year and the make of the car and all that. And he goes, "Well, but there's several batteries. Which battery do you have?" I don't know. I've never raised the hood. And he looked at me and he said, "You need to know what you're driving. You need to know what's under your hood." Let me tell you, Job had an enemy, and the enemy was Satan. Job was not privileged to have the information that you and I have. Little did he know. He felt that God had totally drifted out of his life, but yet in the middle of all of that, Job never lost his faith and trust in God. Even though he reflected upon the days that were so wonderful and so good and so glorious, when he and God walked hand in hand together, and now all of a sudden all of these tragedies had come into his life, and Job felt that God was so far away. yet God was as close as the mention of his name. Tonight, all over the world, there are people that feel forsaken, forgotten. Isolationism has become one of the greatest maladies in the 21st century. Depression and loneliness and isolation that gripped our entire world in the year 2020 in particular, and life changed forever. Oh, that you and I could reflect upon his past glory. When you think about, I love the great old hymns of the faith. I grew up on those. I grew up on the Brodmann hymnal. I will always love the Brodmann hymnal. I know it's antiquated in the 21st century, but the words of those songs ring loud and true in my heart and life. A mighty fortress is our God, all creatures of our God and King. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. There's nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world, elusive dreams. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, and there's nothing between. I can still hear those saints of past years gone by that are now in the presence of the Lord that would stand and sing, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men, even me, with all my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me and never to leave me alone. I alluded to the fact this morning, I love to hear Craig Lovett sing that song, You're Not Alone. You're not alone, whatever you're going through, Hester, you're not alone. I know these have been trying, challenging days for you to have to leave your home, but I want you to know you're not alone. Oh, Job's friends, they did everything to try to deconstruct, to try to do everything they could to defeat him at every turn of the road. But in the midst of all of that, Job's faith and trust in the Almighty God was so much deeper and so much stronger. Job had not lived out the days when the apostle Paul or Peter would say, resist the devil, stand firm and steadfast in the faith. Job had not lived for those days, but the Holy Spirit had moved upon the life of Job, and Job reached out through faith and believed in Almighty God. Job never lost his trust. Job never lost his obedience. Job never lost his faithfulness. Job never compromised with the compromising world that he lived in thousands of years ago. You and I live in a very compromised world. We hear all the time about our compromised immune systems and what we can do to build up our immune systems. Let me tell you, in the world that you and I live in tonight, let me tell you, there is no place for we as Christians to compromise what's happening in life. Job clung to his integrity even when Job wanted an audience with God. Even when Job wanted someone to come to his defense, even when God was silent, God was never more present than he was then. It's just that God had a plan, God had a purpose for Job's life. And today, all these many thousands of years, we are still preaching and teaching and talking about the life of Job. Job began to reflect. He began to think about those months that were gone by. He began to think about the days that God watched over him. How great it was when he thought about how that he and God could walk in the cool of the evening and there was nothing between God and him. Job continues in verse 3, and I'll close in here. In Job 29, verse 3, when his lamp shone over my head, he's speaking about God watching over him, when his lamp shone over my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Tonight, there's a lot of people in this world that are walking through darkness. I want you to think about the people tonight that are not as privileged as you and I. I want you to think about Christians all over the world, throughout the nations. The Bible says one of these days when we get to heaven, there'll be people there from every nation, tribe, and tongue. I want you to think about the Christians tonight that are hiding, that are scared, that are fearful for their life, for execution. I read this past week on Christian Post that over there in Afghanistan, the Taliban, the Islamic terrorists, are going about checking people's cell phones, and if they have the Bible downloaded, they're executing them. I want you to think tonight how privileged we are to reflect upon the glory of the Almighty who shines over our heads day by day. He's our light in the stillness of the night. He walks with us through the darkness. No wonder David the psalmist would say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. I don't know, but when I think about those old wonderful songs of the past, there's just something about those. The other night on television, I think it's every Monday night, I believe it is, Bill Gaither and all the Gaither Bunch are singing. Last week, they were doing all the wonderful old hymns, some that I quoted a few moments ago. They were in the Billy Graham Chapel there on those grounds there in the Carolinas. And as they were singing those songs, I began to look over that crowd of people and begin to see this one is now in glory and that one's in glory and this one's gone and that one's gone. Let me tell you, Job began to reflect. Job began to think. Job began to think about his kids. Job began to think about the fun times and the family get-togethers and the dinners. Job began to think about whenever he would go to the city gate and do civil business there. He began to think about how he was well-respected, how life suddenly drastically changed in a moment's time. The Bible says in the book of James, go to now, you that say today, tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a city. We'll continue there a year. We'll buy, we'll sell, we'll get gain. Whereas you know not what's on the morrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanishes away. Would you bow with me as we pray?